will see Mark. G'day, everyone. A few hundred years ago, people used to make mustard for human consumption by collecting it from the little trees and putting it in a big oak barrel and leave it there for weeks, and it would ferment, put some special fluid in there, and it would ferment and it would form this very hard leathery skin on top. And your mustard ear would come along when he thinks the mustard is cured, and he'd use a very sharp, very delicately designed knife to skim off this hard skin. Now, if the knife wasn't up to it, he'd exclaim, "This doesn't cut the mustard." Hence the expression. Now, we know from James, he had an expression that faith without works is what? Dead, not alive, not functioning very well. Is that the kind of faith we want to know? A faith that's a bit dodgy, faith that's a bit sus, a faith that's not up to cutting the mustard? Is our faith sharp, ready for action? Is it a go-anywhere faith? Or is it a bit lazy? A bit hypothetical, a bit wishful, one that shies away when there's hard work to be done? Is that the kind of faith we want? I'm going to read you a passage from Romans 1. I'm going to read it really slowly because there's important stuff in there. And I'll bet you there's something in there you haven't seen before. Here we go. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, of which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born as a descendant of David, according to the flesh, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith. Ah, the obedience of faith. No one wants a dodgy faith. When we need it the most, we discover it's just missing some vital elements. It turns out to be a faint hope, not a strong faith. The faith that we have in God doesn't seem to have any substance when called on in our moment of need. How do we know when if we'll be strong enough? Can we somehow test it to see if it's up to the task? To see if it's up to the task of us taking our eyes off ourselves, off the world, off the world's provisions and guarantees for us that amount to nothing, and putting our eyes on God? God's given us the faith that enables us to do that. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we're told to walk by faith, not by knowledge, not by understanding, not by wisdom, but by faith. So what's Paul getting at when he says the obedience of faith, bringing about the obedience of faith? We're to steady our lives through a faith made alive by doing. A faith made alive by obeying God's call on us to deny ourselves, to follow our Master, Jesus Christ, and yes, to pick up our cross as he gives us opportunity. And that opportunity comes every day. Doesn't God challenge us every day to choose him over the world around us? Doesn't he challenge us to choose his way of doing things over what seems natural and right for ours, for us? The default thing that we actually refer to when we're confronted with a problem. What a challenge it is to have our mindset tuned in to what God might be telling us through the day. And he hasn't left us to our own devices. He's given us a gift of faith. But James exhorts us to make sure it's a living faith that's going to cut the mustard when the time arises. Recently we had a story here about Abraham and his son Isaac and carrying the wood. And it can bring a tear to the eye if we engage in that story deeply. I think I prefer slightly the story about Peter and the boat who walked on the water. Not by relying on himself or his mates, but by totally relying on God. Totally relying on God. Through the one that the Father had sent, his Son. Jesus, our Lord, our guide, our friend, our brother. And let's not omit our Master. It's okay to think about not obeying a friend or not obeying a brother. It's okay to think about not obeying a guide. But when you use the term Master, which he is, he's our master and commander. Now, I know that was on TV last night. I don't want to have a mental image of Russell Crowe as Jesus. I probably shouldn't have said anything about that. We may well talk about faith and how to make it stronger, how to ensure it's sufficient when we really need it the most, how to have the faith to pray a difficult prayer. When everything seems to hang in the balance, we have nowhere else to turn except to the only God who has called us to himself. He's called us to himself in love, not by force, not by force as the world might know it, because there is a great force at work and it's called the force of gracious love. That's the force that God exerts upon us. Gracious love, inviting us to obey. Inviting us to obey. But not just any obedience. There's lots of different kinds of obedience. But let's think about the kind of obedience that's submissive. That's willing. Eager. Enthusiastic, fervent. That's the kind of obedience God's calling us to respond with, that our faith might grow, that our faith might mature, that it might be able to cut the mustard when the time calls. I wonder if our sportswear maker Nike knows how close they are to the truth with their slogan, "Just do it. Just do it." And sometimes it's going to feel a little bit silly. Sometimes it won't make any sense. Sometimes it's going to make us feel uncomfortable when we hear God's call on us just to do something so that his will might be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It may not feel right. Maybe awkward. Mightn't be the right time for us. But God calls us to step out and obey, that our faith might be made all the stronger. I was going to do something here with this rope today, but it had CHS concerns written all over it. Anyway. It's not so much about my faith or your faith, but our shared faith. Just put your hands out like this in front of you, as if you're holding a rope. That rope. There's enough there to go around all of us. Our shared journey, complete with trials and triumphs. And recently I've been challenged, but now changed permanently because of some stories of faithful obedience, obedient faithfulness from some of you. It changes you permanently when we share those stories. The obedience that made that faith alive and well and able to accomplish wonderful things. That's the faith that we share. It's the willing submission that enabled Peter to get out of the boat. And I suspect, hang on to the rope, I suspect that more was accomplished by his friends looking on as their faith grew. As they saw Peter's obedience, as they saw Peter's willing, submissive, eager, fervent, enthusiastic obedience to do what the master had called him to do. And they learnt, they grew because of that, because of Peter's story. We are indeed joined together, not by mere threads, but by the living Christ sent from his Father through the Spirit, that we might be courageous and diligent to see his calling through. Without obedience, faith is merely a wishful thought at best. Did Peter get out of the boat on a wishful thought? Did he walk on water by a wishful thought? Or an obedient and dependent faith? When he stepped out, he accomplished something grand. Yes, he sunk, but he stepped out all the same. And he accomplished something in his friends' lives too that will never be forgotten. Just as in my life, the things that I've heard recently here from you will never be forgotten. You can't forget the things that change you, that make you grow and mature and all the more obediently willing to respond to God's call on us. We can never be more joined together than by our love for one another. By being joined through our faith in our shared out lives. The taking the chance on God who will never leave us, nor forsake us, or let us sink. Even though it feels like sometimes we will, he won't. There's no story in here. And it's a lot of stories where Satan ever wins. Ever. Not one. And what a grand deception that we're all being victim to in some way or another, or the world certainly has been, with all our superhero movies where there's a good guy and a villain, the arch nemesis. Supposedly the good guy's equal and opposite. Satan's no equal and opposite to God. He's not even the same universe as God. Yet we have in the back of our head this default notion that somehow there's a tuggle between good and bad, a tussle, a fight, a tug of war, and we're the piggy in the middle. But no, we've got a God who defends us, who died for us, who grants us a faith based on his Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus totally relied on his Father, and so must we. That we are strengthened by each other's obedient walk when we share it, when we share our stories, share the lessons learned, share the trials and triumphs that we've had, because faith has been an integral component of those trials and triumphs. We prayed this morning at the pastoral meeting that So many things we just are oblivious to what God's doing in our lives. So many things we just don't appreciate. They just go by unnoticed. When we share one another's stories, we get to at least pick up on a bit of what's happening in other people's lives and what God's doing in their lives to strengthen and to grow that faith in them. We've got the triumphs of faith listed in Hebrews 11, and I commend you to read Hebrews 11 again to see the things that people experienced on behalf of God, doing his will, stepping out in obedience, submissive, loving, willing obedience. And then in the very next verse, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, we'll read that now. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance. Hang on to that rope. The race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. We have a place with him, right there next to the Father. We can only live in that place, in the Master, with active faith, obedient faith, growing faith, faith that will shine and mature until the grand day that he returns to call us home finally. We're bonded together by the Spirit forever. Our faith has been fulfilled and the race is finished at his return. In John 3:36, we're reminded, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who doesn't obey the Son will not see life, but rather the wrath of God remains upon him. Let's harness that obedient faith and share it with one another. We've all got stories to tell. Hang on to that rope as we sing together now and as we pray. And remember who we are as one body, united under Jesus Christ.